So gear change, the idea being that we want to move forward. We don't want to be stuck in neutral. We don't want to be stuck in first gear. But we actually want to keep moving into all that God has for us. And that we want to, Mark has mentioned, going through doors. We don't want to stay where we are. We want to go through the doors God has. We want to keep our momentum going. So when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about gears and how they work. And engineers tell us that the thing that will stop gears from working properly, that robs them from power, that prevents the slows down their forward momentum, is friction. So today I thought I would talk to you about unity, or how to keep our gears turning smoothly and maintain our forward momentum. So if you can please turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12:4. And that's the scripture we're going to be working from. But we're not going to go there right away, but this way you'll be ready. So now God constantly exhorts us to live in unity. Unity is what will enable us to accomplish all that God has for us. Philippians 1:27 tells us, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." Philippians 2:1-2. "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Psalm 133:1. "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity." All through the Bible, you're going to find God referencing and exhorting unity. And Jesus himself tells us why this is so key. In John 17:20-21, he prays, and he says, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." And that's, he's talking to us, because that's who we are. And what does he pray? "That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me." One of the things that make us effective in sharing the gospel is the reality that the world will look in and see that we live in unity, that we are one. Now, if you want to live in unity here at the Bridge, I'm going to ask you to humor me. Would you put your hand up really high? If you think this is a value in a culture and you believe, right? Look around, okay? So you're not with people who don't want to do what you want to do. But then why do we have such difficulty walking it out? Well, I would propose to you that we have mistakenly believed that to have unity, you need to be like me. That sameness is unity, when in fact, that's very different. That unity is not sameness. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to pause for a minute, because Mabel, actually, the Lord had given me a word for you. Sorry, just going to interrupt here. That I felt you were, he said, you're an exotic flower. That you really are a beautiful flower in his garden. And normally exotic flowers can only bloom in exotic places. But I felt the Lord wanted to let you know that he's actually designed you in such a way that no matter where you are planted, no matter where he takes you, you will always bloom. You are actually designed for blooming. So your blooming is not dependent on your circumstance or your situation. It's not dependent on the country you live in. It's not dependent on any of those things. It's actually dependent on your DNA in Christ, because that's what he's built into you, that no matter where you are, you will always bloom. Okay? Sorry about that. You caught my eye again. I was like, oh yeah. Sorry, Lord. So what happens is, I would propose to you that in churches, there are four main differences on how we do things. So I want you, as I talk, to think about, who am I? What am I? Like, where do I fit in? And you may have one or two, and the way you'll know is that's your general response to things. So we have the prayer. And the prayer, of course, views everything as spiritual. We have the relator, who views everything as relational. And as I see your writing, if you want the notes, don't feel you have to write madly. Email me, put in the heading, notes on unity, I'll send you all my notes, so you don't have to write anything down unless you really want to. Analyzer, the processor, views everything as needing to be thought through or analyzed, and the doer believes action is what is needed. So I'll give you an example of how this would play out. Let's say after service today, four of us get in a car and we go for lunch. And we just, each one of us happens to be one of those people. We're driving to the restaurant, and lo and behold, we come upon an accident. Stop the car. The prayer in the car goes, oh my goodness, here, let's hold hands. Come on, stretch out your hand towards the car, and let's pray. God, would you come? Okay, off they go. The relator is like, oh my goodness, how is this impacting the people involved? You've got, who's going to call with the person? What's going to happen when they find out, their spouse finds out there's been the accident? They're concerned with how the people are dealing with this process. Then you have the analyzer goes, wait, don't get out of the car yet. Listen, let's look and think this thing through, because you don't want to do anything. Maybe there's people already involved doing something. You don't want to interfere. You don't want to make it worse. Let's stop for a minute. Let's look at the big picture. Let's think through what our actions are going to cause. And then you have the doer, of course, my personal favorite, who goes, are you guys nuts? Like, just get out of the car. Do something. Okay? So I'm sure you've seen, hopefully, not someone else, but yourself. Okay, I don't want you to be focusing on, oh yeah, that's my spouse, or oh, that's the person next to me, two rows over, you know. Don't think that. Think, who am I? And I want to release you to know that each one of those characteristics, or those personality types, the prayer, the relator, the analyzer, the doer, they are all equally wonderful. One is not better. One is not to be desired more. One doesn't get a bigger pat on the back from God. No, if that's who you are, that's fantastic. Don't worry about who everybody else is like. That's fantastic. It's all needed. But the problem comes in, you see, is when we begin to believe the lie that the devil whispers to us. And you know that the devil is always whispering lies to us. He can't read our minds. Remember, he's not God. And it probably actually isn't the devil, because he's only one individual. He can't be everywhere at once. But it's his little minions that run around, and they just, if you can just imagine a picture of like casting out a fishing hook with bait on it and reeling it in, and he just trolls it across your mind, and he waits to see, are you going to bite? So this particular lie that he whispers over and over throughout our life experience is that people who are different than us are to be viewed with suspicion. So what happens is, when someone behaves differently than you would, because of your life experiences, and because you bit on this bait of a lie, you view their motives, you suspect their motives, and you actually can wrongly judge their hearts. So they respond to something differently. For instance, the prayer will look at the relator and think that he's a man pleaser. The analyzer is trying to put God in a box. And the doer is relying on self-effort instead of God. The relator thinks the prayer is aloof. The analyzer is trying to control him, and the doer doesn't care about people, just tasks. The analyzer thinks the prayer is flaky. The relator is controlled by their emotions, and the doer is a risk taker. While the doer thinks the prayer is unbalanced, the relator is only concerned for their own comfort and what people think, not the mission, and the analyzer is paralyzed. None of those are true. But you see, when we view people who are different than us with suspicion, it is virtually impossible to live in unity. How can I be united to someone whose motives I don't trust? That's just reality. So I believe that there are five keys to creating and keeping unity. That what we want to do as a people is we want to build a culture in this place where the spirit of unity can come and actually dwell and move amongst us, can be comfortable here. And now we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4. And we're going to find these keys, of course, where you find all the answers that you need for life in the Bible. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7 in the New Living Translation says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And the New International Version puts it like this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So we must choose to believe that God has given us these differences for our common good. Okay, I'm not different than you to irritate you. Okay, we have to choose to believe this. Because our mind, right, we bring every thought captive. So we want to learn to think differently. We want to learn to think when someone responds a different way from us, rather than reacting, oh, I wonder if they're, and you start to be suspicious, say, no, oh, they're different from me. I remember why that is. It's for our common good, because we need these differences. But before we move forward, because I am going to talk about how we need to accept each other's differences, I want to make a real clarification here. Because I don't want anyone to go home tonight and say, well, that's just the way I am. You heard Janine in church today. I'm different. You got to accept me the way I am. Well, no, I would propose to you that differences are acceptable, but issues aren't. Okay, I'm just going to be really blunt and honest for the sake of time. If you are rude and obnoxious and unkind, that's not being different. That's being difficult. If you find you're angry all the time, that's not being different. That's a red flag. God's waving a flag to you because he loves you, saying, you know what, darling, there's something inside you that's really hurt. And this flag of anger is saying there's an issue there you need to deal with. So if you there's two things. If you have no people skills, if your problem is that you really have bad people skills, go on Amazon, order at least 2 books, then it's free shipping, get some information, and improve. Okay, learn how to have good people skills. It's very simple. You can actually do something about that. You don't have to be, we're practicing this at our house, interrupting all the time when someone's talking. You don't have to be harsh in your tone. You don't have to be unkind in your words. You can actually learn good people skills. But if it's because you have issues in your heart, reading books on good people skills may be helpful, but they won't resolve that. The only one who can resolve your heart issues is Jesus. And so there's actually a really good connect group happening right now with the Holland family, Caroline and Greg, and they're going through a book on dealing with heart issues. If you have a heart issues, please don't think, oh, well, that's just the way I am, or I can't deal with them. This is completely aside from the preach. God doesn't want you to be stuck there. You're not designed to be stuck there. You're not a sinner. You're a saint now. God has said, you can't say, well, that's, you know, who I am. No, that person, when you accepted Christ in Galatians 2:20, it tells us that you have been crucified with Christ and you no longer live, but Christ lives in you. So that person actually was dead and buried. He wasn't resurrected, refurbished, refixed, and remarketed. It's actually dead and buried. You're a new creation. And that new creation has the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, alive and at work in you. So you can't say, well, I'm just, you know, if you're unkind, you can't go, oh, that's just the way I am. Because no, you're not that anymore. You may have been that, but in reality now, you have the same DNA as Christ. And Christ was never unkind. That's actually not who you are. Don't buy that. You were designed now. The new you is designed to be like Christ. If you still have issues, yes, you'll still fall sometimes that way. But you got to understand the reality, which is that your natural bent now is not to sin. Because you're not a sinner. You're no longer slave to sin. We're slaves to righteousness. So when Jesus says, I heard a gentleman preach on this. He said that when you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, truth in that terminology is reality. When you know reality, when you know what God says, what the truth is, then that sets you free. So if you still believe I'm a sinner, I'm bound to this sin, well, know the truth. The truth, the reality is you're not. You're a saint, and God has made the way for you to be free from that. So that's just kind of an aside, so that please don't think differences mean I can be spread and throw my issue all over you. I can have grace for your issue when you're working through it. God gives us grace, right? Because we're not perfect. But I don't have to partner with your difficult or your issue, but I do want to accept your difference. That's what we're talking about. Sorry, that's a long one for number one. Now we'll speed along. Number two, 1 Corinthians 12:8-11. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. If we skip down to verse 11, it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. So to live in unity, I must choose to believe when I bump up against your difference that we're here for our common good. And then the second thing is that Holy Spirit is in charge of our differences. I must choose to believe that you are different than me because Holy Spirit put that difference in you because it's necessary for our common good. So when I bump up against your difference, I don't have to become suspicious and defend. No, I can go, oh yeah, that's right. Holy Spirit made them like that. Wow. And if you go, then you're saying Holy Spirit's, right? It's like, no, if they're different, it's a great thing because Holy Spirit designed it that way. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us Gentiles, some are slaves, and some are free. But we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. So not only do we believe our differences are for our common good, we believe the Holy Spirit is in charge and has created those, given us those differences. But we have to believe that the Holy Spirit has brought us together, and we choose to believe that the person in this church who's different from you is here because God has put them here. Why are you not still in England or South Africa or Nigeria or Italy or Sri Lanka or fill in the blank? Why are you not there? Why are you not in a church in Whitby or Ajax or downtown Toronto? Why are you at the bridge? Well, I believe if you're here and you call this place family, the reason you're here is because God Himself has placed you here. So if you're here for our common good, and you're different from me because Jesus has created that in you. The Holy Spirit has organized that difference in you. And God has put you 2 rows back, you know, 5 seats over. It's God who's put you here. So do you see how I can be united with you even though you're different than me? We can have unity even though you're different. Because I understand that you're here for our good. That you're different because God's made you different. And that you're here with me in this space at this time because God's put you here. If I actually can get my head to grasp that reality, then I can go, we can be in unity, even though we're different. 1 Corinthians 12:14-20. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not a part of the body because I am not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? And we slip down to verse 20. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. So we must believe that our differences are for a common good, that Holy Spirit has created and made those differences, that the people who are different than me are here because God's put them here. And because of that, I must choose to accept, we must choose to accept our differences. Something that's crucial to that, though, we have to understand, is that before I can accept who you are, I actually have to accept who I am. So you may be sitting here today, and if I was to ask you, do you love yourself? You know, sometimes we have this false, wrong thinking. Well, that must be pride if I say I love myself. Or if someone says, you know, I really like who I am. I just love myself. Okay, depending on the tone of voice, right, we can... But most people kind of would go, oh, they're being really proudful, or look at them, how can they say such a thing? Well, actually, God made you. God created who you really are inside, underneath some of that stuff that life puts on us. Peel that back. That person in there was created by the God of the universe. And what he makes is always, always awesome. It's pure gold. Pure gold. You are inside. You are pure gold. What is not to like about that person? If you struggle to like that person, then again, I want to just encourage you, would you spend time alone with God and you say, God, would you show me what you see when you look at that person? You know, Jesus came, preached the good news to heal the brokenhearted. If you have trouble accepting who you are, go to Jesus, let him show you how he accepts you, how he thinks you're wonderful, and then trust him, take him at his word, and look at yourself every day in the mirror and go, I like you. I love you. You are awesome. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's God's will for you. Because if I can accept myself, if I can understand who I am in Christ, then I'm not intimidated by you. And you know what? You could be highly gifted above me. But because I know who I am and I accept me, I can accept you. I can let you fly past me. And I can celebrate it because I'm secure that I'm gold. You're gold. It's okay. We can be different, but I can accept you and you can accept me. So come, know yourself in Christ and accept one another. Because if I can understand that I am loved, then I can love. And that leads me to my final point in 1 Corinthians 12:21. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And then we go down to the bottom. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is to be a part of it. So I must choose to learn, number 5, to love those who are different than me. Because remember, we talk often that love is not a feeling. Love is actually a choice. And when I say that, I'm not saying you need to be everybody's best friend. Let's be real. There are naturally personalities that you're going to click with more than others. Can we accept that and not be offended by that and not think that I'm not good enough, that's why they don't like me? Or just can we just say, well, you know what? I'll get along better with certain people than I will with others, and that's okay because we're different. But I can still love you. And remember what love is? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love always believes the best. Love doesn't boast. It's not proud. It doesn't give up. It always rejoices in good. It doesn't rejoice when evil. That's what I'm talking about. I can love you. I can be patient with you. I can be kind to you. You can be kind to me, even when we're different. Now, how is this going to happen? Well, it won't be because we really want it to happen. Believe it or not, that's not what's going to make it happen. I can want to have the heart of a marathon runner, but if I don't get out and run, I'm never going to get the heart of a marathon runner. Or I want to have muscles, you know, and well-developed arms. If I never pick up a set of weights, it doesn't matter how much I want it, it ain't going to happen. So we all are, I want unity, right? We were all together in that. I want it. That's great. That's the first step. The next step is I have to put my will alongside my want. And I have to purpose to make it happen. So that means that even when I don't feel like it, I still choose it. Even when it doesn't feel good, I still purpose to do it. Because I see the goal. I see that unity is where we're headed as a body because I understand what that will accomplish. Because then they will know that Jesus, that God sent Jesus to earth. The people will see and go, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. So for instance, a practical, I am, as most of you may have guessed, or if you know me, I'm a doer, actually quite a high doer. So let's say next Sunday, I come in and you're in the church, And I walk past, and you see me coming in. You're excited. I mean, you know, he's like, oh, there's Janine. I want to go say hello to her because you happen to be a relator. So you're like, oh, I'm going to see how her week was. And so you stand up and smile at me, and I come in. I've got all my stuff. And you see now I'm a doer, right? So I know that I'm on Sunday school next week. We're planning an Easter play. I'm going to have to get some photocopying done, set up the classrooms, right? Maybe I'm going to be doing announcements, so I got to make sure I get the slides in order. And so I walk in, and you smile, and I'm like, and I just keep going, right? So now you see, bait is cast and trolls it across. She didn't even say hello. She just walked right past. Did I do something maybe that upset her? Do you know, maybe she doesn't like me. She's not really that friendly of a person anyways. You know that? I've noticed she does that to a lot of people. She just always is doing stuff. Remember? She's only interested in the task. She doesn't care about people. So now you have the awesome privilege of free will and choice. That's what God's given us. That's what makes us different. If you don't get to choose, then if you don't get two things to choose between, how is that helpful? So now you get to choose. And I would like to propose to all of us here this month coming, March, for March, just March, let's choose whenever we get a thought like that, we're going to actually physically go, no, stop, push it away. Because that's what God says, is that we are to bring every thought into captivity. So let's captivate that thought, shove it down and say, no, I remember she's a doer. Boy, she's doing her thing. She's different than me. It's not because she doesn't like me. She must just really be stuck in doing right now and can't really see beyond that. But that's okay. I'm going to have grace for her. And you know what? You may even think, I'm going to ask her, is there something I can do to help? There you go, right? And I may say to you, can you like, oh, I got to take the chairs down in the classroom and would you mind doing that? And you're like, okay, no. Because you're appreciating and accepting my difference and you're loving me. You're loving someone who is different than you. All right, and so, but that doesn't let me off the hook. Because, you see, I also know that it's important to you as a relator that I actually stop and ask, how are you? So I'm trying to learn that in the midst of my running, sometimes I'll stop and what I really want to do is go, okay, you know what? I need you to do da, da, da. But I stop myself and I go, because you're different than me, I want to love you. And I'll go, so, how was your week? Even though maybe, you know, I'm like, but I know that you're different than me and you need that and I want to love you. So I'm like, so how was your week? And you know, how did that make you feel? But I'm not just making it up, okay? I really do care, but I have to learn to do that. It's not my natural default. But that doesn't mean it's not valid because I do care. I can honestly say, I love you guys and I actually care about people. So when I'm busy and in the zone and I walk past you, it's not because I'm trying to hurt you. It's not that I'm rejecting you. And if you think those thoughts, I would challenge you, think what you're thinking about. And those kind of thoughts don't come from God. Those kind of thoughts come from the accuser of the brethren. And when we partner with them against someone who's different than us, what are we doing? We're partnering with the accuser. And we don't want to do that. So we want to have grace for each other. So, hopefully that's helped you see. So, if we can remind ourselves here, five things. We must choose to believe that God has given us these differences for our common good. See, it's a choice. You may not feel like it right now. Let's say feelings, you don't lead me. Okay, remember, we don't live by our feelings. We live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he says, he's given us these differences in the word for our common good. So if you think differently, let's renew our minds by the washing of the word. Let's change the way we think so we can change the way we behave. Okay? So from now on, you bump up against someone who's different, you're going to go, oh yeah, it's for our common good. We must choose to believe that Holy Spirit is the one who's in charge of these differences. That person is not different than you because they're supposed to irritate you. They're different than you because God's made them that way. Then we have to believe, number three, that person who's different from you is in this particular body, a family called the Bridge, because God has actually purposed to put them here. And that's a good thing. Then we want to accept our differences. Because of those three, we say, yes, I will accept you. And then we want to go one step further, which is I choose to learn to love those who are different than me. Are you with me on that? So interestingly enough, when I find out I'm going to preach, I usually the Monday before I'm up on the Sunday, I send out an email to the leadership team and I tell them what I'm preaching on so they can be in prayer. So I was busy this week doing things, so I didn't until Wednesday get a chance to do that. So Andrea, Thursday morning, sends me an email in her, this I love how God works, just happened in her email, in her devotions on Thursday morning, to read this and send it to me. And Francis de Sales, a 16th century bishop in France, wrote, "Each of us has his own endowment from God." And we could say difference. "One to live in this way, another in that. It is an impertinence, then, to try to find out why St. Paul was not given St. Peter's grace or St. Peter given St. Paul's. There is only one answer to such questions." So basically, he's saying it's wrong thinking to go, well, why are they made like that? And why are they made like that? And why are you trying to see, why are you different? Because that's an impertinence. The only answer is, the church is a garden patterned with countless flowers, so there must be a variety of sizes, colors, scents, of perceptions, after all. Each has its value, its charm, its joy. While the whole vast cluster of these variations makes for beauty in its most graceful form. You see, when we get this right, when I view you the way God says I'm to view you, we have this incredible variety, this incredible pattern that will present to the world God's beauty in its most graceful form. Is that not something worth purposing to fight for? To lay down my irritation or my little preconceived to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm actually going to accept those who are different from me, because I see the greater goal. I see the higher prize, which is unity in this place, which means Christ visible to those outside this place. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, to close your eyes. And we're going to ask Holy Spirit a question. And I'm going to ask it out loud, and you can ask it of yourselves. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, have I believed the lie that people who are different than me are to be regarded with suspicion? Now, if he says yes, I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. Father, please forgive me for believing the lie that people who are different from me are to be regarded with suspicion. I receive your forgiveness. I ask you to replace that lie with the truth. Now, would you repeat this out loud after me, please? That you have given us these differences for our common good, that these differences come from you, that you have brought us all together. I choose to accept those who are different from me, and I choose to learn to love them and believe what you say about them. Amen.